Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How Asia Works by Joe Studwell is a comparative, policy-focused guide to understanding why some Asian economies achieved sustained prosperity while others stalled. Rather than treating growth as a mystery or a cultural trait, Studwell emphasizes practical choices made by governments, businesses, and financial systems, drawing lessons from places such as Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, China, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. The book is known for arguing that the most successful developers followed a disciplined sequence: build broad-based productivity in agriculture, use that base to create globally competitive manufacturing, and channel finance toward productive investment instead of speculation. Studwell also challenges popular narratives that celebrate laissez-faire approaches or assume that export growth alone guarantees development. Written for readers who want a clearer map of what drives structural transformation, the book connects historical context to concrete institutional mechanisms and highlights the political bargains that determine whether policy is implemented or undermined. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the development playbook, a clear sequence for structural transformation. A central theme is that sustained development in Asia has not been accidental. Studwell presents a staged approach that the standout performers largely followed, even if with local variations. The first stage is raising productivity in agriculture, not merely increasing output. When small farmers have incentives, access to technology, and a fair route to markets, rural incomes rise and create demand for basic manufactured goods. That demand helps support industrial learning while also reducing inequality that can destabilize growth. The second stage is manufacturing-led industrialization, where firms are pushed into export competition so they cannot hide behind domestic protection forever. Export discipline functions as a performance test. Companies must meet global price and quality benchmarks, which forces continuous improvement. The third stage involves financial systems that allocate capital toward productive, learning-intensive sectors rather than toward property booms and politically connected consumption. Across these stages, the book stresses that policy must be implemented with hard conditions and monitoring, not just announced. The point is not that every country can copy another exactly, but that the ordering of reforms and the enforcement of incentives matter. Studwell uses cross-country comparison to show why skipping stages or weakening discipline often leads to volatile growth, crony capitalism, or middle-income stagnation. Secondly, getting agriculture right, land, incentives, and mass prosperity, Studwell gives unusual weight to agriculture, arguing that many development debates undervalue how rural policy shapes an entire economy. In the more successful Northeast Asian cases, land reform and support for smallholder farming helped spread gains widely and quickly. When farmers control land or have secure tenure, they invest in productivity, improving inputs and practices. Higher yields and better rural incomes expand domestic markets and provide a stable social foundation for industrial upgrading. The book contrasts this with countries where land remained concentrated, where politically powerful elites captured subsidies, or where rural development was treated as secondary. In those settings, agriculture tends to produce low wages, weak domestic demand, and large pools of underemployed labor, which can push people into precarious urban work without building a strong consumer base. Studwell also highlights the importance of practical state capacity, extension services, pricing mechanisms that reward production, infrastructure that lowers transport costs, and rural finance that funds inputs and equipment. The broader message is that agriculture is not a sentimental sector to protect indefinitely, but a launchpad for industrialization and human development. A country that neglects rural productivity often finds that later industrial policies are fighting uphill against inequality, weak demand, and political capture. Thirdly, manufacturing and export discipline, learning, scale, and competition. In Studwell's account, manufacturing matters because it concentrates learning by doing, supports economies of scale, and enables rapid productivity growth. However, he distinguishes between genuine industrial policy and mere protectionism. The countries that surged ahead did not simply shelter domestic champions. They combined temporary support with relentless pressure to perform in export markets. Exporting forces firms to master processes, quality control, logistics, and cost management. It also creates feedback loops because global buyers compare suppliers continuously. Studwell describes how governments use tools such as targeted credit, performance-based subsidies, and managed trade policies to accelerate industrial capability while withdrawing support from firms that failed. This is where politics and administration become decisive. Discipline requires willingness to allow failure, even for well-connected companies. The book contrasts this approach with Southeast Asian experiences where industrialization was often tied to inward-looking assembly, resource rents, or protected domestic markets, producing weaker technological upgrading. Another insight is that manufacturing strategy interacts with labor and education policies. Training systems, managerial competence, and an orientation toward incremental improvement all influence whether exports become a ladder to higher value activity. The theme is pragmatic. It is not about ideology, but about building competitive firms through measurable, externally validated performance. Fourthly, finance, productive credit versus speculation, and crony capitalism. Studwell argues that finance is frequently the hidden lever separating durable growers from boom and bust economies. In his framework, the best performing Asian developers used banks and credit allocation to support productive investment, especially in targeted industrial sectors, while limiting opportunities for easy speculative profits. When credit is abundant for factories, equipment, and export capability, firms can invest in upgrading and scale. When credit instead floods into real estate, stock bubbles, or politically directed projects without performance tests, growth becomes fragile and inequality widens. The book discusses how weak financial regulation, connected lending, and guarantees for favored conglomerates can create moral hazard, encouraging risk-taking without accountability. Studwell contrasts systems that kept banks closely aligned with national development goals, often with strong oversight, to systems where liberalization arrived before institutions were capable of managing it. He also highlights the political economy of finance, property booms, and consumer credit can be popular in the short term, while disciplined industrial lending requires patience and administrative rigor. A reader comes away with a sharper sense of why the same headline GDP growth can mean different things depending on its credit structure. The lesson is not that markets are irrelevant, but that financial systems shape incentives, and incentives determine whether capital builds capabilities or merely inflates assets. Lastly, why some countries stall, implementation, elites, and the middle income trap. A recurring explanation for success or failure is not the lack of ideas, but the inability to implement tough policies against entrenched interests. Studwell emphasizes that many governments can write industrial plans, announce reforms, or build showcase projects, yet still fail to create broad productivity gains. Where elites benefit from land concentration, resource rents, protected monopolies, or property inflation, they often resist land reform, export discipline, and financial restraint. The result can be growth that looks impressive for a period but does not translate into higher productivity across the workforce. Studwell uses comparisons across Asian regions to show how weaker states, fragmented politics, or patronage networks dilute policy and protect underperforming firms. Another element is sequencing. Premature liberalization of trade or finance can expose an economy before domestic firms have learned to compete, while also empowering speculative sectors that lobby against industrial discipline. The book also touches on governance quality, not as an abstract scorecard, but as the practical capacity to monitor performance, withdraw support, and enforce rules. This helps explain the middle income trap, where countries reach a certain income level through cheap labor and investment, then struggle to move into higher value production. Studwell's analysis pushes readers to look beyond slogans toward the mechanics of incentives, enforcement, and the distribution of power. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a grounded explanation of Asian economic development, including business leaders evaluating emerging market narratives, students of economics and political economy, policy professionals, and informed general readers who suspect that conventional free market versus state debate misses what actually happened. Its value lies in translating complex national histories into a coherent set of mechanisms, how land and rural incentives shape demand and stability, how export discipline turns support into learning rather than complacency, and how finance can either build productive capacity or fuel bubbles. Readers can benefit by gaining a clearer framework to interpret headlines about growth, compared with many development books that either celebrate miracles or attribute outcomes to culture. Studwell offers a sharper, comparative argument that links policy tools to measurable outcomes and political constraints. It is worth buying because it provides a usable mental model for assessing why some strategies travel well and others fail, while remaining focused on practical levers like land, manufacturing performance, and credit allocation rather than abstract theory alone. If you would like to support Joe Studwell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.